Well, good morning to you. Good to see you, each of you. And as I always say, it's the greatest thing that we do during a week, isn't it, as we assemble here and worship together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord does reign. He is King. And that's good to remember, isn't it? It's an encouragement to us. I love the Psalms. I love how often they remind us of the things that we need to hear and we need to store up in our hearts to help us. It's obviously full of many psalms that are full of rejoicing, also ones that are an encouragement in our times of struggle. And the Lord is great, and that is something that we can pray, that we can sing, that we can proclaim. And He is holy, truly, truly holy. This morning's lesson, a manifestation of glory, we'll be taken from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And as we begin, I would like to ask, have you ever thought you really knew someone? Perhaps you had known them for an extended period of time, at least a significant period of time, and you really thought you had a grasp on who that person was. You kind of understood how they ticked, so to speak, how they worked, how their mind worked, and the things that they enjoyed, the things that they didn't like, how they would react in certain situations. Have you ever thought you knew someone so well, and then something happens, and in that moment, your perception of them is forever changed? All of a sudden, you think, did I really know this person at all? Do I really understand anything about this person? And you might begin to question a number of things throughout your life's experience with this person. Ever had something like that happen? Could be a friend. Could be a coworker. Could be a relative of some kind. And sometimes, in all honesty, when we have those moments, sometimes they are kind of a movement from the better to the worse. What I mean by that is that we had a certain view of a person and we lifted them up a little bit in our own minds and we thought that they were not really capable of doing anything that would massively disappoint us. And then something is revealed, right? And once something is revealed, you can't ever go back and think of that person exactly the way as you did in the past. Now, you can move forward, and sometimes you can have healing, but in this situation, when we talk about it, we're talking about going from the better to the worse. It happens. Sometimes we might actually see the opposite. You might experience where you thought someone was really kind of a problem to you. And yet somewhere along the way, they do something, you see something in them, and your thoughts of them change from worse to better. But what we see today in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, we see a moment in which someone who was great, great in the eyes of the disciples, actually still their perception of him changes. From great to what we might say is just beyond the ability to compare. Incomparable to anyone else in the history of time. It is this moment that we call the Transfiguration that greatly increased the faith of the disciples. Some of which, and we talked about this morning as I'm studying through 2 Peter, some of which, like for the Apostle Peter, would not fully be seen and recognized even in his own life until later. Until after the actual death and resurrection of Christ, and even the ascension. And then later in life, towards the end of his life, Peter writes and he talks about this moment that we're going to talk about in Matthew 17, this transfiguration moment, and he reflects back upon it and how important it was to not only him, but the others who saw it, the witness that went along with it. So sometimes we may, in fact, come to realize some things about someone, and we go from our thoughts of them from better to worse, from worse to better in their situation, from being great as Jesus was, to them recognizing and understanding and being told by the Father from on high who spoke and they heard him, that he is the one to listen to. So in chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." Can you imagine that? If you need to close your eyes, picture it. Picture that you're there. You're one of the ones there upon that mountain, that transfiguration moment, and you see Jesus. You've been with Jesus. You've been with him. You've walked with him. You've ate with him. But now something is different. Does Jesus have your attention? Are you ready to listen to what he is saying? Are you ready to recognize him as who he is more fully and understand who he is more completely? Can you say, "Yes, the Lord reigns"? Jesus reigns. Would you say, then let us, in a sense, tremble before him? And yet, in the trembling, be comforted by Jesus. We say, "Yes, he is truly holy." And we are in awe of his wonder. As you stand before Jesus upon the mountain this morning, do you see him? Do you recognize him for who he really is? And if you do, what response would you have? His face shining like the sun. That should draw us back. We should think of the times in Scripture that this language is used previously. Shining faces and white clothing of the divine power and presence of God Almighty. It was Moses as he comes down from the mount, Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 34, he has been in the presence of God, and as he comes down from the mountain, his face is shining. The heavenly beings that we read about, like in Daniel chapter 7, or in Mark chapter 16, and verse 5. These heavenly angelic beings who have this clothing, this white glowingness about them. But in this moment, Jesus has a face that is bright like the sun and the clothing that is white and glowing. Moses, in the Exodus story, in Exodus chapter 34, has been dealing with the problem of the terror of a reigning kind of territorial, harsh leader, a Pharaoh, who has God's people held captive in Egypt to serve him primarily and them somewhat as the nation of Egypt. And in that bondage moment, God is ready to deliver them out of it. And so Moses, in Exodus 34, has gone on quite the process of going before that which was enemy, that which was captor, and speaking on behalf of God and on behalf of the people and saying what God had said, "You let my people go." To the point that Pharaoh rejects the word of the Lord. And when we reject the word of the Lord, there are consequences. And so Pharaoh gets his way for a time. He thinks he's still in power. And finally, though, we get to see in the Exodus story who really is in charge. And so sometimes what we need to understand is we may be in the period of the Exodus story for ourselves that Pharaohs of the world still think they are in power. They may think they have control over you. And Satan himself may think he has control over you. And that you at times may think you are powerless. But by faith we know differently. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did and what he proved and the power of the resurrection and the truth of the moment of his transfiguration and the view of the transfiguration and how it connects back to his baptism and all of this story connecting, interwoven as it is a beautiful story that reminds us that God is in control. The Lord is King. And we need to hear what the Lord has to say. And then we need to follow what he has said. And when we do that, we already have the victory. We will no longer be held captive. We are released. We are free. And we move forward with God. But there is something that we have to recognize. We have to recognize who Jesus really is in order for us to move to that point. As you stand upon the mountain of Transfiguration this morning, does Christ have your attention? Elijah has his problems, doesn't he? We read about that in 1 Kings. And I think primarily at this point of chapter 19, in the moment where he feels as though he is so depressed, he feels as though he is so without hope that he actually prays for his own death. Ahab. Again, a power hungry and controlling one. Jezebel. All of that which is after him. All the power of the world, so to speak, around him, after him. But Elijah gets a moment and where God comes to an angel and gives him a message of hope. No wonder Moses and Elijah are present. They are here with us this morning. There they are, right on the mountain with us. Behold, we look up and we see the face of Jesus shining bright like the sun. We see him glowing, but we also see Moses and Elijah who have appeared, and they are all talking to one another. And what I want to know, this is my question. Sharon, how is it that we recognize Moses and Elijah? But somehow we do. We know who they are. Isn't that fascinating? Men that had long ago passed away, and yet they know who's there before them. No wonder Peter does what Peter does. No wonder he says and considers the thing that he is going to present the case for. Peter makes a motion. Peter says, "I move that we build three tabernacles. If this is your will, Lord, let's do this." You can almost see the rest of us as disciples ready to say, all in favor, yep. I'm in. This seems right. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish it, if you want it, we will make this happen. We will make this happen for you. Let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. That sounds great. Well done, Peter. Way to step up as a leader. And then the Father speaks. What is Peter's facial expression in your mind? After he's just said what he said, and we are all witnesses of it, we are standing there and we are seeing this moment. And while Peter is still speaking, he may be even looking around and seeing what all the other disciples are thinking about his words. While he is still speaking, the Lord speaks over him. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to what he has to say. Yes, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Now, John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And so he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And now we get, listen to him. The connection of Jesus at his baptism and a transfiguration moment. How magnificent. What a glorious moment. Both were. I think Peter would listen up, don't you? And as we're there among them, won't you listen? Won't you hear? See, as God speaks, the focus changes. The focus changes from one more great leader of God's people, from one more person like a Moses, from one more prophet like an Elijah, to someone who is greater than all. The one that we need to listen to. And the disciples, when they heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. In the presence of the Lord this morning, as you think back to that time, as you try your best to place yourself there in the presence of Jesus like that, as you see his face glowing, his clothing white and glowing, as you've heard what Peter said, and then you've seen the cloud come over, and you've heard the voice from heaven say what you really need to hear, would you fall on your face this morning? If not literally right now in the aisles, would you fall on your face as you think about that and who Jesus is? And if he were only here, if he were only in our presence, we would. And then someone says, and rightly so, preacher, he's here. He is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And we remembered him through this that we do every week, upon the first day of the week when we come together to break bread, to remember our Lord. And I'm tearing up. Because that's what standing in the presence of Jesus does. When you really know who he is and what he has done for each and every one of us. He is King. And he is worthy of all of our devotion. Recognize him. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble, the psalmist says. And the people trembled because they realized who he was. And he says, as he comes and touches them, arise and do not be afraid. Because while there is this awe moment when we are in the presence of Jesus, when we are in the presence of God, while it is true that we are to tremble and respect his glory, his holiness, there is also the soft touch of a Savior who says, I want you to feel like you can be in my presence. I want you to stand and be in my presence and no longer be afraid. For you are mine. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. Moses and Elijah shrink. They fade away. And what remains is Jesus Christ before them, revealed even more than before to them of who he really is. Set our eyes upon Jesus. Keep our focus upon what he has done. Keep our trust in him and follow him. Follow him all of our days, and we will follow him into glory. Did you know the Transfiguration actually doesn't make full sense without something else? And so they were told of this wonderful moment, of this amazing moment, they are actually told to hold on to this information. And for now, don't tell anyone. Can you imagine? Here we are, and we have seen what we have seen. We have experienced this moment with Jesus, and we have had him reveal himself more truly to us, more fully to us than ever before. And now we have to be quiet about it for a while. As they come down from the mountain, Jesus commands them, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. There's something about the resurrection that has to take place to make sense of the Transfiguration. That the Jesus of the cross upon that mountain and the Jesus that is transfigured upon this mountain moment, that the two put together make sense of this thing, Jesus is Lord. And as the grave is defeated, as death is forever defeated, we recognize and we're ready to tell. Now it's time to proclaim it to the world. Now it's time to let people know. Now it's time to call people to follow, to figure out who Jesus is, to respond. Now it's time for Jesus himself to say to you, don't tremble any longer, but stand up and arise and come into my presence. Will you put Christ on in baptism this morning? If you have wandered away from him, will you make him Lord, truly Lord of your life again? Turning back to him. If you're in conflict with a brother or sister in Christ, will you make reconciliation? Why? Why is that so important? Because we are the body of Christ. And we are supposed to be in unity to the best of our ability, in harmony, in love, dedication, and commitment to one another. It all goes hand in hand. Christ and his church. Will you make those decisions? Respond to Christ today. You know who he is. You know who he is. And you know one day you will stand before him. And you will see him in all of his glory. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. And the beautiful part for us of people of faith is that we get to do it now as well. We get to practice it now so that on that day we will have nothing to fear as we are before him. If you need to respond, will you now, as we stand and sing.